A significant number of Americans who've died in our country from COVID-19 lived in long-term care facilities, and their loved ones are now left with overwhelming feelings of guilt and regret. Kathy Ritchie from member station KJZZ in Phoenix reports.
Diana Wise watched her mother, Helen Espinoza, suffer in the final days leading up to her death at an assisted living facility in Yuma in southwestern Arizona.
So every day from Thursday, Friday, Saturday, she had four falls.
Wise's mother had been diagnosed with COVID-19, and she was declining fast. Wise was there on one of the days she fell out of bed.
And it was awful. It's the worst thing you'd ever want to see, to feel, you know, to see dead weight hit face first.
Wise says staff could never get her mother comfortable.
She didn't want to be touched. You could just tell her whole body hurt. It wasn't so much the breathing. It was just the body hurt so bad.
Wise returned on a Sunday morning. Staff told her that her mother was finally resting comfortably.
And I was like a big relief. But then I went over to her and she was taking her last breaths.
No one had realized her mother was dying. Wise doesn't blame the caregiver. She says the facility is short-staffed. Rather, it was everything leading up to her mother's death that has traumatized her.
It was horrific. That stuff shouldn't have happened.
There's actually a name for this kind of death. It's called a bad death.
So a bad death is not a new concept.
Ginga Conray is a lead social worker at Sante Hospice in Scottsdale. She's also a licensed therapist.
But a bad death is anything that really challenges the notion of the idealized experience of somebody's passing away.
And in many cases, it's what's happening with COVID. People are dying alone. Families are often forced to say goodbye on video calls. Conray says she's seen an unprecedented number of bad deaths in the last year, and there's a price.
So bad death have really affected the grieving process, leading to more and more people experiencing complicated grief.
The Columbia School of Social Work's Center for Complicated Grief describes grief as a natural response to losing a loved one. In time, people adapt to the loss. Complicated grief is a form of intense grief.
It presents with a lot of symptoms of intrusive thoughts of the person who died, or preoccupation with sorrow, very ruminative thoughts, and excessive bitterness, alienation from normal activities or activities that you previously engaged in.
There's also a lot of wishful thinking. Here's Diana Wise again.
Yeah, I'm dealing with that right now, of guilt of if I had taken her out, I probably could have protected her from the COVID and keeping her home and safe.
And it can lead to depression or anxiety. But complicated grief is also hitting those whose loved ones are still alive. Mary Daniel is the founder of Caregivers for Compromise, a Facebook group with some 14,000 caregivers who've been impacted by the restrictions at long-term care facilities across the country.
Most states are not even allowing any visitation. So it has been 10 months for most people, very close to being 11 months of absolutely no touch except and no visitation whatsoever, except maybe through a window.
Daniel lives in Florida. Her husband has Alzheimer's disease and lives in a care facility. Like Arizona, family visits are now allowed under certain circumstances, though in both states, months went by before family visits were finally allowed. But Daniel found a way in. She took a job as a dishwasher at her husband's facility. Many families aren't as lucky, and the wait continues, and with it comes the grief.
Grief is real in this group. There is no question that it is really, really prevalent.
And she says it's agonizing.
This is really about a grief that isn't ending. This is a grief that's not over. This is not grief as we normally know it. It's a grief of they're gone. My husband for 114 days, he was gone from me. I could not get to him, but he hadn't died.
And at the time, she didn't know if he would die, alone, wondering where she was and why she had abandoned him. It's why she started the group.
Because it's going to take time to digest what this all means for all of the people who have lost their loved ones without being able to hold their hand and be there with them. So much guilt, so much regret.
An organization called the National Consumer Voice for Quality Long-Term Care will soon mark the one-year anniversary since nursing homes closed their doors to visitors on March 13, 2020. They've also begun a Twitter campaign to open those doors at long-term care facilities in all states. And with many residents finally being vaccinated, families hope they'll soon be able to hold their loved one's hand again. For Here and Now, I'm Kathy Ritchie.